today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk, the radio broadcast division of James Dobson Family Institute. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson. We aired an interview about the powerful movie Unplanned, which highlighted the horrors going on in the abortion industry. Shirley and I have seen the movie, and I'm telling you, it is powerful. If this won't get your attention about abortion, I'm telling you, nothing will. Shirley and I were deeply moved by it, and the heartless murder of innocent babies has literally grieved my heart for nearly 50 years. Over 60 million babies have been ripped from their places of safety inside the womb. Others have been burned with salt or torn to pieces during the birth process. And all of this done in the name of reproductive health or a woman's right to choose. Former President Ronald Reagan wrote a book about this subject. I don't know if you knew that. It was in 1983. It was called Abortion and the Conscience of the Nation. President Reagan is the first president to write a book while in office. And he said this: we cannot diminish the value of one category of human life, the unborn, without diminishing the value of all human life. I wish he were here to help fight that battle now. But I have to tell you, we have some exciting news to celebrate with you on this occasion. You may not have heard it, but it has to do with the pro-life movement. And a few weeks ago, the state of Ohio became the latest state to pass a heartbeat bill. This is big news. The legislation would protect preborn children by forbidding abortions after a beating heart is detected in the womb. We want to tell you about that. And with us again today is my very good friend, Janet Porter. She has fought this battle from the very beginning. It's been the passion of her heart. And she was with us by telephone in the beginning of this battle, and that was in 2011, and then again in 2017. So there have been two previous attempts to pass this. Janet, by the way, welcome.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Privileged to be with you. I am so proud of you. I'm telling you, you have been a frontline warrior for a long time. I don't know anybody that's done it better. And you hopped on a plane at my invitation. You came here today.
It's my honor.
I can't wait for you to share with us the backstory of what has happened in the state of Ohio. Before we do that, I want to go back to just a short snippet of our conversation from 2017, because you were on fire then, and it passed and yet was vetoed by John Kasich, the governor. And he did that twice, didn't he?
He did.
Let's hear what you said 18 months ago.
We've waited 44 years. It's time to do what we've been marching about. This is the moment where we've got the Republican House, Senate, White House. We've got the new Supreme Court justices being ushered in. This is our moment, and we had better seize it because it may not come again.
Janet, you remember saying that.
I do.
And I know how you felt about it. Let's go back 8 years. I mentioned it a moment ago to 2011 and what you said on that occasion.
Right now in Ohio, we are on the brink of protecting babies with beating hearts, and we are not hundreds of thousands of votes away. We are now 17 Senate votes away from actually restoring legal and substantial protection to children for the first time since 1973 in Roe versus Wade.
Tell us what the outcome. Let's go back to 2011 and tell us what the outcome was of that effort.
Sure. We had passed it in the House in June of that year, in 2011. But those 17 votes in the Senate, they blocked that bill all the way up until 2019. So we had to keep pounding. In fact, I ran candidates against these senators for three election cycles. We ran ads and we had rallies and we did mailings and we did full-page ads and radio and TV and we rented a plane to fly over the state. We did everything. everything you can imagine to pass this bill. But the good news is, after nearly a decade of pounding and pounding against the resistance of the establishment, the heartbeat bill was signed into law so that babies with beating hearts will be legally protected.
It did pass twice.
Yes, it did.
And John Kasich vetoed it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a story. The second time that it passed, last December, we had to get the 60 votes to override the veto, to show the governor, hey, we've got veto proof. So I'll tell you a little story of that. In the House, it was December. I was driving down to the State House. I was 14 votes short, okay? We had the votes to pass it, but 14 votes short of a veto override. It was impossible. But the state of Ohio's motto is, with God, all things are possible. So after a day of lobbying, we ended up a couple of votes away. A half hour before the vote the next day, I talked with one Democrat. We had Bill Patman, one Democrat champion. I said, we need one more Democrat. And he said, here, talk to this guy, Glenn Holmes, see what you can do. And I said, text me if you get him. The session begins, and I get a text, and it says, done. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we've got a shot at this. The votes are called, and they circled this Democrat. They called for a recess. They beat up the guy. They threatened him. And this man, Bill Patman, and I, this elderly African-American, I held hands and prayed that he would stay firm and he would vote pro-life. But Doc, I got to tell you, it was like a movie. The votes were cast. We needed 60. And the votes came in at 58-35. We're two votes short. And I just thought, man, something's not right about this. And we started looking at the list of who voted which way, and 10 minutes later, that Democrat that we prayed for went and voted yes, even after the vote was cast. So we're now one vote away. And we see Marilyn Slaby. She's a rep that I saw walk in. They said, well, maybe they flipped her. I said, no, not this one. She wasn't there. But we were looking for her. Where did she go? I get a text. I get her cell phone. I text her husband, who was a state rep before her, a co-sponsor before she was. And I said, we've got less than three bills on the roster. We've got less than an hour to get her back. She's the swing vote for a veto-proof margin. And he says, well, I'm already 2 hours away for a mandatory meeting. I can't miss. But God put it in my heart. I couldn't let it go. I said, we did not come this far for nearly a decade to leave this go. And I said, yeah, can you pull off the highway? Because I'm on my way to get her right now. And so it's snowing at this point. It's in December. It's snowing. I run two blocks to my car. I get to my car. I don't have my keys. I'm like, are you kidding? Because I told the group, I said, you pray and you tell them to stall until we get back. And so I get to my car two blocks away, and a man comes up to me and says, here, you drop these in the crosswalk. I think he's most likely an angel is the most likely thing. So I get in the car. I'm driving considerably more than the speed limit to get to the place where I need to get it. Meanwhile, our intern, Joshua Lavity's mom, Raylene, lives in Holmes County. I said, hey, she's at the Bob Evans. Can you pick her up? So she picks her up, drives south while I drive north. We meet in the middle. We get there. He pounds down the gavel. She casts the vote. That's how we got to 60 votes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'll tell you, it was
heartbreaking. Were you praising the Lord?
Oh, I dropped to my knees and started sobbing in the chamber. But the next week when the Senate came to a vote, we had the votes in the Senate, but one man, Bill Beagle, flipped on us. His answer when they said, why'd you flip? His answer was, well, the governor's been very good to me. John Kasich got to him. And so we lost the veto override by one vote.
You know, I know John Kasich. I've known him in years past. And
sure.
Does it surprise you that he vetoed this legislation twice?
You know, I've known him for decades myself. I actually used to be a spokesperson when he was the House Budget Committee chairman. He had me debating his opponents for him and being his spokesperson on the campaign trail. And so, yeah, it was heartbreaking to see that he left his pro-life position, became pro-abortion, and he lost his way on a number of issues. But the good news is we have a pro-life governor. His name is Mike DeWine. He signed the pro-life heartbeat bill into law. But I want to take you back to the very beginning, if I may, Doc.
Sure.
And it started with, well, my husband. I prayed for a Christian husband my whole life, and I didn't know that it would be you that God would use to bring that about. My husband read your book, Life on the Edge, and became a Christian leader. And when we moved to Ohio, he said to me, why don't you outlaw abortion while you're here? And I just thought, you know, that seems impossible. And it was the next month that God put the idea of the heartbeat bill in my heart.
And, it really started with you, didn't it, Jen?
It did. But it took a lot of people to help us get through the finish line. All the glory goes to God, because even though we had the pieces in place, even to the last minute, they were trying to gut the bill in the Senate up until the day of the vote, which is why we sent out an email blast. We got their phones ringing. We were saying, don't let the Senate gut the bill again. Pass the stronger version. And thankfully, that's what happened. And then I was talking just this morning with former Majority Leader Tom DeLay, who was an answered prayer when we were working on the congressional version, H.R. 490, of the federal heartbeat bill, and he was the MVP. Doors opened up when God sent us Tom DeLay. We ended up with 174 co-sponsors in Congress, and that all started with a little movie that you made called Where's Daddy? Because that's how Tom DeLay got saved, through your movie. And so I want to present this to you, Doc. This is a great honor to me to give you this. It's the Heartbeat Bill Hero Award.
Oh,
and this is a challenge
goodness.
Coin that we give to co-sponsors in Congress. If you take it out, you'll see the baby on the back that summarizes the bill. It simply says, if a heartbeat's detected, the baby's protected. That's the bill. And it's the bill that's going to end abortion in America, I believe.
Now, that's a big statement. Because of this heartbeat bill in not only Ohio, but I think seven states now, and others are coming.
Sure.
You feel this has the possibility of bringing down Roe v. Wade?
I have no doubt. It's passed, as you mentioned, Arkansas, North Dakota, Iowa, Mississippi, Kentucky, Ohio, Georgia's moments away from a governor's signature. I just talked to the state representative in South Carolina. Missouri should pass it by the first 2 weeks next month. We're looking at Tennessee doing the same thing. We've already passed it through one house in Tennessee. It is moving. And I'll tell you what's exciting about it is when you look at the Arkansas and the North Dakota heartbeat bills that passed in 2013, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals reviewed those laws. And what they said is they basically begged the court to take it up, said, hey, Supreme Court, the states should be the ones deciding this. And they've got a better marker than the one you're using. They said it was, quote, more consistent and certain, more scientific than viability, which is just a guess of how advanced our technology may be. But a heartbeat, as it turns out, that if you've got a heartbeat, a detectable heartbeat in an unborn baby, there is a 95 to 98% likelihood that that child will survive to live birth, which is precisely what the Supreme Court said they're looking for. States, you're allowed to protect life as long as there's a likelihood of survival to live birth. And we're giving them the opportunity. They don't even have to overturn Roe versus Wade to uphold this, to say move your marker from viability, which is miles away from our goal of conception, down to heartbeat, which is inches away from
now,
our goal.
Now, tell me what the significance of the heartbeat bill is. Why is this so exciting?
Well,
I know it. Tell everybody else.
Sure. It's science. It's what everyone understands. If there's a heartbeat, there's life. And that's why the George Barna poll showed 86% of Republicans favor this bill. Here's a shocker. I'm glad you're sitting down. 55% of Democrats favor the heartbeat bill becoming law, and 7 out of 10 across the board. Why? Because they get it. To deny a heartbeat is to deny science. To ignore a heartbeat is heartless. And that's really the issue of it. You see this little picture right here? This is a picture of an ultrasound. We actually brought in the youngest to ever testify in Congress, in the Judiciary Subcommittee. We did it in Ohio, too. We brought in an unborn baby via ultrasound. And I'll tell you, in Congress, I'll give you an idea of what happened. You know, there were protesters there. It wasn't quite Kavanaugh disruptive, but there were people who were there that were causing a stir. And when that baby, little baby Lincoln, his heart was heard in that committee, there was silence in the room. You heard the baby's heartbeat. You saw his heartbeat. And one of the protesters who had previously been disruptive was seen wiping away tears from her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that told me everything I needed to know, that this baby's heartbeat can reach even the hardest of hearts.
Now,
it can reach America.
This legislation, which is now law in Ohio and other places, has teeth in it.
It does.
I mean, it's not just a pie in the sky kind of a conversation. This has teeth. What does it mean for the doctor who performs an abortion on a baby who has a detectable heartbeat?
Well, he's going to be a felon, which means he's going to lose his medical license and he may be going to jail. That's it. They're not going to keep doing them because you know they're motivated by money. And if they realize they're about to be put out of business if they keep doing these things on babies who they keep doing this horrific act of abortion on babies whose heartbeats
that's
can be
the
detected.
Law of the land.
That is the law of the land. It will be challenged. But keep in mind, from the conception of this bill, it was meant to deliver the fatal blow to the heart of Roe versus Wade. This was crafted
to
be.
So you know that you're going to be challenged in court.
We planned on it.
And you're probably going to lose there.
And lose at the appellate level, most likely.
You will appeal and hopefully get it to the Supreme Court.
That's right. That's right.
I want to tell you something. This is the reason people are trying so hard to bring down Donald Trump. Because more than likely, if he gets another term, he will nominate the winning vote on Roe v. Wade.
That's right.
We don't know that for sure, but that's the way it looks. And they are trying to stop him because of the Supreme Court.
That's right. People are starting to believe what I've been telling them for years now, and that is, we're going to end abortion. That's what it's all about. God gave us mercy with the election of Donald Trump. And whatever it is God's put on your heart to do, we need to do it now. We need to take advantage
Janet,
of this
you
window.
Just don't have a much enthusiasm.
Just got to muster that. In fact, just get out of my shell.
Right. You must really be excited about what's happened.
It's been a long, hard fight, and I'm not going to lie to you. It's not been easy. When you're fighting the establishment, when those who call themselves Republicans, those who claim to be pro-life are the very ones blocking you, it's not been an easy road.
What kind of pressure have they put on you?
Well, I'll tell you, we not only ran candidates against these senators, I actually, when I couldn't find anybody else, I did run against the Senate president. And one senator said they spent over $1 million basically maligning me. But it's worth it because now babies with beating hearts are going to live and not die.
How many babies will be saved as a result of this legislation in the state of Ohio?
Well, the Senate passed version would have only saved about 3,500 babies. But the House passed version was one that said, we're going to save the 17,800 babies that are younger than 12 weeks. And so we're going to save about 20,000 babies every single year. And that's what the Heartbeat Bill will do. And it's in states across the country. As I mentioned, there were 25 states that have introduced it at one time or another. There's 15 that have been active recently. I'm going to be next week in Michigan to get them to introduce a heartbeat bill there. This is the moment. This is our chance. And as you know, I've been pounding the pavement, going uphill, up against the wind, but the wind is at our back now. There's been a shift. This is taking the heart of the country by storm, and it's happening all over America. And I'm hoping that people listening right now say, well, listen, I don't have a heartbeat bill in the state where I live. All you have to do is go to heartbeatbill.com, just download the model bill, call your state rep or your state senator and say, here you go. Why should you not be a part of this move to keep hearts beating? Why would you sit on the sidelines when we have the ability to use science? And by the way, when we showed the baby in the womb inside the committee hearings, they were screaming and shouting and ranting and raving. I said, isn't it sad that to defend your position, you've got to run from technology? You've got to deny science. These are the flat earthers denying science. And we're on the advantage right now. We've got the winning issue that just turns out, that just happens to protect almost every child facing abortion. So you've heard the bumper sticker. You've seen it. Abortion stops a beating heart.
Yeah.
The good news is, with the heartbeat bill, a beating heart will stop abortion.
It's so simple to understand.
That's right.
That
we're turning
talking
it upside
about
down.
A living baby that has the opportunity to go on to everything that life has waiting for him.
And that child's heart is beating like an SOS signal, saying, you know, help me, save me. It's the reason why we have heart monitors in hospitals. We know they're not there for decoration. You know, none of us have been to a funeral of somebody with a beating heart. Everybody gets it. The first thing you do, you find somebody lying on the ground, you check for a pulse. Everybody gets it. It's the universally recognized indicator of life. And we're no longer going to discriminate against the very young. We're going to apply it. We're going to listen to it, even in this instance.
Did you have trouble convincing the new governor, Mike DeWine?
No, he was, in fact, I remember when Mike DeWine was the attorney general, I approached him first in 2011 and asked him if he would defend the heartbeat law. And he said, that's my job. I'm looking forward to it. And so I know he was looking forward to signing it, and I'm very, very glad he did. And the good news is, because of the people who made the calls, we pushed back on the Senate, they did not gut the bill as they had done the first time, and we got a strong bill that will protect every child whose heartbeat can be heard.
What about our Congress?
Well, as you know, we have a bill in Congress. It's H.R. 490. Congressman Steve King has been the champion of that bill, but there's a Democrat control right now. So we are working right now on getting a U.S. Senator to sponsor a heartbeat bill. And I believe that if the Republicans who are running for election in the next Congress, if they actually keep the promises they make, the pro-life promises they tell that people when they're elected that they'll actually do, that we actually can get this heartbeat bill through in the next Congress and perhaps even in this Senate, at least to get the words going. And that's why I tell New York, that's why I told California, even if you don't yet have the votes, introduce a heartbeat bill, because just the publicity of the bill will save lives. In fact, when we had just a hearing before it had even passed the House in 2011, a woman came up to me and said that a friend of hers had asked her to drive her to the abortion mill, and she said, I can't do it. I found out about this baby's beating heart. A couple weeks later, she came up to me, hugged me, and said, they canceled the appointment. They chose life just because of the publicity of this baby's beating heart. And later she showed me a picture of a little baby boy. He's now, I believe, about 7 years old right now. Baby Aiden, a little boy who is the biggest blessing of the mother's life. We saw it in Arkansas. Senator Jason Raypert said, a woman came up to him and said, I want you to meet this little baby in the stroller, born because of your heartbeat law, which never even went into effect. It was enjoined by the courts right away. But just the publicity, just getting this out, it's like putting a billboard across your state or across America that abortion stops a beating heart, but instead of that, a beating heart will stop abortion.
Janet, I've been in this fight, too, since 1973.
Thank you.
And even before. And we have lost and lost and lost. The disappointment, the excitement, and then leading to another loss, another defeat. Is this one for real? Are we really winning this battle?
I believe we are, and I'll tell you why. And it is. It points to the importance, the critical importance of praying for our president every day. President Trump is an act of God's mercy, I believe. But he's not only, I tell people, it doesn't take a constitutional scholar to count to five on the Supreme Court. Some question whether or not we have all five. But I do know this, that we're expecting vacancies any time now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who's I've been sending her retirement brochures for years now, but it's time for her to take a break, I think, and others that may step down. I believe that we will have a court that welcomes the heartbeat law and allows our babies in America, those hearts to continue to beat and for them to be protected by law.
Will that finally not be a fantastic moment for celebration?
It will.
Imagine this. I cannot imagine God looking down at what we're doing, and especially those babies born alive that are then permitted to die or encouraged to die on a porcelain table someplace. And they're actually talking about that. Mm. There are some people making a case for that. Mm. Can you imagine this? A little child who's already survived an assault on his life, and he comes into the world, he or she comes into the world wounded, scared, cold, rejected, and not knowing what's going on, confused, and they put that baby on a table someplace and then don't minister to him, not comfort him. There's no breast to feed him. I mean, how can the Lord bless a nation that would do that?
It's barbaric, and I'll tell you, it's no longer an issue of a woman controlling her body or terminating a pregnancy. Because that child, and we talk about New York, that they would kill a child during the process of birth. Guess what? Birth terminates a pregnancy. So it's about delivering a dead child. In the case of infanticide, it's about ensuring a dead child.
It is infanticide.
It
is. That's what we're talking about.
That is. It's absolutely homicide. And there are people lined up from New York to Chicago that would give their right arm to adopt these children. And what are we doing? We're throwing them away. And it does show the difference between those who are running for office in the presidential race upcoming and in the congressional races, state races. Even though evil and darkness is getting darker, what I see is that God's people are realizing that God has given us the power, the authority. He's given us the ability to take dominion. And I'm telling you what, this chance that we've been given, we had better well use it because it may not come again. And I was in Singapore twice this year meeting with pro-life leaders. They're looking to introduce a heartbeat bill there. I met in Israel in January with a member of the Knesset, pro-life leaders. We may be seeing a heartbeat law in Israel, a bill introduced in New Zealand, and Panama is contacting me. This is going global.
It's the passion of your heart.
Amen.
And of your soul. And you never gave up. It brings tears to my eyes to think about you're fighting out there pretty much alone in the beginning. And I have been there too. And the Lord has smiled on us. You and I are part of an army. We're not, you know, holding ourselves up as the lone wolves here. There are many people out there who feel like we do. What I've been saying to the Christian community is that you've been in this fight and you've been struggling with it for a long, long time. Some of them who are older go all the way back to 1973 or before, and they're tired of it. They're tired of talking about it. They're tired of being ridiculed. They're tired of being called right-wing kooks or whatever it is. And their inclination is to say, let somebody else fight. I've had enough of it. Don't give up the fight.
Don't quit. And I'll tell you what, I'm tired of marching too. I'm tired of talking. It's time we end this. Let's instead of talking about abortion, debating abortion, marching about abortion, let's end abortion. And that's what the heartbeat bill will do. That's what it will do in nearly every single case. And keep in mind, as technology increases, we're going to hear that heartbeat younger and younger. we're going to save more and more. And I believe we'll get to a place as the pro-aborts came and they came in the hearing and said, this will outlaw all abortions. And I just sat there quietly thinking, yeah, you know what? Those abortion mills, they're probably not going to stay open for a fraction of their business because they're motivated by money. And I think we're going to close them down, Doc. I think we're going to end abortion. When I went to watch that movie, Unplanned, the day of the bill signing, I sat next to my...
You saw it too.
I saw it and I said to my husband, we just ended this. And I'll tell you what, it's going to happen. Whether it's the Ohio bill that delivers the fatal blow to the heart of Roe versus Wade, whether it's the Georgia, whether it comes out of Mississippi or Kentucky or Missouri, I don't know which one it's going to be, but it's going to be. And God has given us, as I mentioned, this merciful act of a president who has promised to put pro-life judges on that court. We're going to see, I believe, another couple vacancies filled with pro-lifers, and we're going to see the killing come to an end.
This is Roger Marsh, and I hope you were encouraged by this latest pro-life news that we shared today here on Family Talk. Ohio is just the latest state to pass legislation to protect life inside the womb, and you can visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to see a map of states with passed or pending heartbeat bills. Make sure you join us again tomorrow as Dr. Dobson continues his enlightening conversation with Janet Porter. You will not want to miss their interview coming up next time right here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.